point that happened was the Spaniards invaded Vilcabamba, this rebel capital, caused them so much trouble. And they sacked it, they took the Inca emperor, they actually went into the capital, burned the capital, and the Inca emperor had fled. He fled into the Amazon jungle, and they started this chase, and they chased him by canoe, they had Indian guides, the Spaniards, and they chased him for miles and miles, maybe 200-300 miles, really not known. And they started using torches at night to go faster because they were getting closer and closer. And they would go with torches through the jungle with their guides. And they finally came across a small clearing, and there in the clearing was a fire. And there was the Inca emperor and his wife. And his wife was pregnant. And apparently the story goes, because the wife was pregnant, she didn't want to get in a canoe and where they could easily escape. She wanted to stay on foot. And so she had slowed him down. And make a long story short, they went in there and they captured the final Inca emperor and his wife. And they took him back up into the Andes and to the capital of Cusco, which they abandoned 30 years before. And they gave him, they tried him in the Spanish courts of law and basically accused him of having defended his own country against the invading Spaniards and the trumped up trial. And they led him out into this big square in the middle of Cusco. And it was packed with all the natives. The square was a very large square. Everybody's been to Cusco and knows that it was totally packed. The balconies were packed. People were standing on top of the houses, hills, that kind of thing. And they led this Inca emperor up into the square, took him up on top of this execution platform. And apparently, even the Spanish women who were watching from the windows and that kind of thing were weeping. It was so sad and pathetic to see the last Inca emperor come out there, and they had. One of the enemy tribes, the Incas, because the Incas obviously had conquered all these different tribes with their empire, which is 2,500 miles long, they had plenty of enemies. And so one of the things the Spaniards did, kind of like Cortez did it among the Aztecs, was to use political divisions to help them split apart the empire and use the enemy Indians on their side. And so when the Inca was executed, he was executed by a Canary Indian who was from the north of Peru and one of the conquered tribes. And he chopped off his head. That was the real end of the Inca Empire. That was in 1572, about 37 years after the classic conquest, after Pizarro had arrived on the shores of Peru. So the Incas lasted a long time. And for the next, basically, 3-4 centuries, the whole story about this rebel capital, the Incas, became lost. It became like Troy, the Greek city of Troy. People didn't really remember about it. The jungle overgrew it, and it became like a myth. And people didn't really know what had happened. They weren't sure if it actually had ever occurred. And you couldn't find it because it was totally covered in jungle. And in 1911, an American professor named Hiram Bingham from Yale University, he got interested in the story. He was a historian. His specialty was South American history, which at the time, 1911, nobody really knew about South America. It was a whole frontier of academically. Geographically, and he decided to go down to Peru and try to look for this lost Inca capital, this rebel capital in the jungle. And the reason he did that, he was a very tall guy. He was 6'4", 170 pounds, tall and lanky. And he grew up in Hawaii. His parents were missionaries. And he went to Yale. By the time he was thinking about becoming a missionary, by the time he finished Yale, he really had just one goal, and that was to become rich and famous. And so he thought by going down to Peru and finding a lost city that he might become famous. That was kind of his motivation. So he went down there, and he was extraordinarily lucky because people had actually been looking for this capital for the last 100 years. And within a week, he was in Cusco. He had a team of 6 different people from Yale University. He went off in search of this Inca capital, Vilcabamba, and within a week, he stumbled across Machu Picchu, these ruins high in the cloud forest of Peru. But he wasn't sure. He wasn't sure, was this the Inca rebel capital that was down in the jungle, or was this something else? He didn't know what Machu Picchu was. Nobody'd ever seen it. Nobody had been there before. And he started looking into Spanish chronicles, and there was no record of any place called Machu Picchu in the Spanish chronicles. So he didn't know what he discovered, but he had a contract by the name of National Geographic to write something about these fantastic ruins he found. And under pressure, he said that, well, this must be the lost rebel capital of the Peruvian rebels. And He declared that that's what it was, and for the next 40 years, for the rest of his life actually, he said that Machu Picchu was the lost capital of Vilcabamba. There's only one problem, is that he was wrong. And he discovered in 1911, declared it was the lost capital, and didn't die until 1956, but he was so famous that people didn't really question. Archaeologists kind of held their tongue, and people accepted that Machu Picchu was actually his lost rebel capital. And eventually, after he died, people started reading the Spanish Chronicles and trying to compare Machu Picchu with what was in the Spanish Chronicles, and they started thinking, well, it doesn't really sound like the two match up, that what's described by the Spaniards in the 16th century does not seem like what Bingham found in Machu Picchu. And so two other explorers, American explorers, actually went down there, or an American explorer named Jean Savoy went down in the 1960s and started poking around the Amazon jungle. He went down there and virtually uncovered a whole city out in the middle of nowhere, which was, you could not see. You know, 3 feet in front of your face, you can't see that there's any stonework there. But he found the Inca rebel capital. And so that left the question, if this rebel capital he just uncovered that he chopped down the forest and he revealed was Vilcabamba, then what on earth was Machu Picchu? And Machu Picchu, it turned out, was actually just a private reserve. It was like Camp David of the Inca Emperor that had founded the Inca Empire in the first place, named Pachacuti. When you conquered a place back then, you often made a city, or a city for yourself, to be kind of a monument to for your conquest and that kind of thing. And this Pachacuti, who founded the Inca Empire, he built this fabulous place called Machu Picchu along with other cities. And that's once the empire is conquered by the Spaniards, it became abandoned. Nobody really heard about it. Spaniards never went there because it was already abandoned, so it never showed up in the chronicles. So that was the reason nobody ever heard of Machu Picchu. And basically, when I first set out to tell the story, I was hired, I signed a contract with Simon Schuster to write the story of the modern story of Vilcabamba, the discovery, the search for and discovery of Vilcabamba, and the search for the discovery of Machu Picchu. And they gave me a year and a half to write the book. And I started reading about it, reading a lot of books, that kind of thing, and doing research, and I collected all these Spanish chronicles from the 16th century, because most of the information has come down to us from the days of the Incas is from the Spaniards. The Spaniards that went down there, the conquistadors, were actually were a real motley crew. They weren't soldiers, they were tailors, they were cobblers, they were bakers, they were builders, sailors, that kind of thing. And they all got together to form these corporations of conquest, looking for Inca empires to conquer. Very few of them were literate. 30% of Europeans at the time were literate. So they were notaries that went down, because the Spaniards back then, they had a very litigious culture. And actually the King of Spain had put an edict out saying no lawyers were allowed into the New World, because the king did not want lawyers going down there, because they figured the lawyers got the New World, they would start filing lawsuits, they would clog up the court systems, very similar today. But lawyers went down there anyhow, and they started filing lawsuits and that kind of thing. And they took along with them notaries. And notaries were highly skilled back then, because they were people who were literate, and they needed to have all these legal documents that were signed. And no matter what a Spaniard did back then, whenever he conquered something, he'd put the flag on it, and you'd have a notary there, and the notary would be there, and he'd sign this document saying, in the name of the king, I claim this land, that kind of thing. So these notaries, it turned out, were the first people who returned from the conquest of Peru that started to write about it, because they were literate. And so they wrote the very first stories of the conquest of Peru within just a few years of it happening. And those stories became bestsellers back in Europe. It was just an amazing story what had happened so far at the end of the planet, basically, this story of conquering this empire and gathering all this gold and that kind of thing. So anyhow, I started reading about the Spanish chronicles, and they're still in the libraries, that kind of thing, and taking notes. And about a year into the process, they became kind of worried, because I had a year and a half contract. I already spent like a year just reading these books about the conquest and reading these original documents and that kind of thing. And I also knew that the last person who really wrote about the subject of the conquest of the Incas, that kind of thing, in this kind of style, was a was a blind Bostonian lawyer named William Prescott. And this guy had gone to Harvard, and while he was at Harvard, he got into a food fight in the cafeteria, and somebody threw a bun at his eye and poked his eye out. The other eye got infected, and he went blind. He was going to be a lawyer, and he decided to become a historian instead. He was almost blind. He lost his sight completely in one eye, and the other eye he could barely see. He could see like a half an hour a day. So he decided to become a historian. He was really interested in South America, and he started getting all these Spanish chronicles. And